Heaven is open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy. The windows of heaven open, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy.
I'll sing it once more before I
open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus makes everything right.
I give him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Brother Mark, Brother Terry, Brother Gary, and the family's away on a wee holiday for a few days. But we appreciate those that came out tonight. Praise God. And we're looking again at the book of Samuel. And there's so many different things in the book of Samuel, and I'm just hitting highlights what comes out to me. There's many more things you can take from it. And please do remember for this Sunday morning, our brother Larry. Brother Larry's preaching on Sunday morning. Pray the Lord give him strength. And you know, Larry loves to keep preaching, you know. And we love hearing him as well. So we just appreciate it, Brother Larry, and he's not getting any younger, but we just need to keep praying the Lord will give him strength. Amen. Let's turn to chapter 5 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 5, and you can remain seated tonight. I want to read most of this chapter, chapter 5 of 1 Samuel. And I want tonight to talk about the Ark of God in the hands of the Philistines. The Ark of God in the hands of the Philistines. And we saw last week where they had put their more faith in the Ark than they had in God. And the ark was a symbol to them. But it was really was God that was behind the ark that gave it his power. The actual ark, the vessel itself, had no power without the Spirit of God. And it's not the truth. And it's the same with gathering the people, preaching or anything. There's no power in it. It's like the Bible's just a letter without the Holy Spirit. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to make that word live, and it can live and it can come alive. Praise God. The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer onto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face, praise God, to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him up in his place again. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod until this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them of Amrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men A voice God saw that was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. And they sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had hemorrhoids in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, and said, send away the ark of God of Israel, and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people, for there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city, and the hand of God was very heavy there, and the men that died were smitten with hemorrhoids, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads again this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight. Lord, as we come, we ask for the presence and the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in this very room. We pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We ask you'll sanctify us afresh with the washing of the word and the blood of Jesus Christ in this meeting tonight. Father, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. I need your help, Lord. Pray you'll bless your word. Pray again, it's been prayed for wee Connie tonight, from the crown of her head to the very soles of her feet, that you'll know your mighty presence, your mighty blessing, and your mighty touch. Lord, you said, suffer the little ones to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Bless her and her sister and her brothers, and Simon and Sarah, the whole family, in Jesus' precious name. Have your way, I pray. And Father, for others tonight with needs in this house, meet every need. Answer prayer. Bless the sisters at home and any brothers. And Lord, just have your way amongst us as we look to you now. And pray for wee Laurie this evening. Bless him, strengthen him. Oh God, keep your hand mightily upon him. And help us now with your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we saw through the last week, and I think it was last week, I went into describing what the ark represents, and I don't want to go back too much, but we know the ark of God represents the presence of God, and they were afraid of the ark of God, because when Israel had the ark of God in the days of Moses, I can tell you they were afraid of it. God's power and God's presence were with that ark, and nobody could touch that ark, only the men chosen that were priests of God. And we know that through the Bible, other men touched it and they dropped dead because they weren't allowed to touch it. And I tell you, it was anointed of the Lord. But you see, Israel had got backslidden, and we saw that the other week. They got away from the Lord and they said, maybe if we bring the ark in, maybe God will do it. They weren't sure of themselves, and they were looking at the ark more than God. And that's what happens with things. We can put things up. It could even be a man. We could think of a great man of God and we could look at him instead of looking at the Lord. And that's wrong, because the Lord says that he will not give us glory till another, no matter who the man is, and that every one of us in the eyes of the Lord is the same. Amen. And you know, even the Bible tells us in James how Elijah prayed, and then it says he was a man subject to like passions as we are, so that it encourages us that we can pray. God's no respecter of persons. That's what I was thinking. So nothing can be put up, even though God's used it. And I mentioned last week where there's been mighty movements that God has worked in, organizations in a day gone by. But they're dead tonight. The presence of God, Ichabod's over the doors. God's no longer there. But God himself's still real. His power's still real. His power's available, but it's left them things because people put the emphasis on the movement rather than on God. Now, there is power with this ark, because this ark does represent the Lord and the presence of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord. And these Philistines are finding that out now. They're finding it out. They thought they were smart, you see, when they took the ark of the Lord, and they thought this was a great thing. But here they're finding out that this ark that they took for a trophy, little did they think that they were bringing judgment down upon themselves. They thought they took it for a trophy. Now, I don't know where it's true or not, but they do say the menorah is that Rome has a menorah. You know, the candlesticks. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I've heard that. I can't say whether that's right or not. But Israel's going to have all them things back again, and they're going to rebuild that temple. And the Lord's going to come. There's going to be the rapture and all. And that's more to Israel. I don't want to go too much off the subject into that tonight. Now, the ark, like the Bible, in a sense, may be a dead letter to some, but in the hands of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's a sharp two-edged sword. And this ark to some might have been just a dead piece of wood or a symbol, but yet withal, when you look back at the history of this ark, the power of God was with, the cherubims overshadowed it, and the presence of God came down, and the Shekinah glory came down. And people could have this Bible under their pillow, but it doesn't really mean anything, and they don't believe it. But yet withal, this Bible in the hands of the right man or woman under the anointing of God, mighty things can happen. Because God's word's got power in it. Amen. And that ark was the same thing. You see, it's always a solemn thing, you know, when you come in contact with the presence and the power of the ark of God. It's like the word of God, the power which killeth also maketh alive. And the gospel does two things. It separates some to death, and it separates some to life. It's a separator. Not everyone will believe the gospel. Then let me just give you some scriptures, but keep in Samuel 5. In 1 Samuel 2, 6 and 7, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. Now it's the Lord's choice. It's the Lord's choice at the end of the day what happens. And everything's predestined in it from the foundation of the world. And it's God. God does that. You see, the experience of these Philistines who are out of a covenant are very much the same of those of the ungodly under the power of the gospel. If they don't obey the gospel, they're dead men and women walking. But if they obey the gospel, they're born again and they come alive. Doesn't Ephesians tell us that? That all of us were once led by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now you see, the religion was completely upset here. In verse 3 and 4, we're reading tonight, Dagon fell upon his face before the Lord, and his head and his hands were cut off. And I tell you, there's no religion that can stand before real Christian religion. And when I talk about real Christian religion, the power of real Christian religion is two outstanding facts, you know, about our Christianity, what we believe. One of them is that Jesus had no original sin. That's why he's such power in it. He had no original sin, and death had no claim on him. But he willingly stepped into death, and he challenged death, and he took on death, and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Then the other thing, why our gospel is superior to any other religions and to Dagon and anything, is because of Jesus rose from the dead. Those that died in them other religions are still in a tomb or a grave. They can embalm them and do what they want them, but they're dead. But Jesus is living. And he's not only living, but he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high this evening. I just saw a clip the day of, I think it was Derek Prince, I'm not sure what program it flicked into, but Derek Prince said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you here this evening, many of you. And I agree with what he said. He said, if you're in the Masonic, you're under a curse, and your family's under a curse. And I tell you, the Masonic movement is from the pit of hell. And the symbols of the Masonic are Antichrist. And that many have carried over into other religions. And that's the truth. Now, if you really went into it, a lot of people wouldn't want to know about it or hear about it. But it's absolutely the truth. And some of them symbols are nothing to do with God. They're to do with Satan. And just like this, Dagon here. Dagon didn't represent Almighty God. Dagon represented a false god, a a false religion. And God wasn't having any of it. And even though they didn't fear the ark like they ought to fear it, yet withal, God still made them afeard when it come in amongst them, didn't it? God was still showing them, even though this ark here is maybe not what they thought it was at one time, yet withal, God let them know the power of God on it, didn't it? And now Dagon had to fall down, praise God. And his hands broke off. Isn't that wonderful? And they put the ark of the temple there, God, thinking, you know, to keep both. But God and Dagon, they can't stay in the same house. Amen. And you see, when you really get the Holy Spirit, and I got a couple of wee books of a man from Australia, and he wrote about the Masonic, and I'll tell you, there's no real Christian can be in the Masonic movement. I'll tell you that right now, that this is recorded, and this is the truth. If you're born again, you'll come out of the Masonic, you'll have to leave it, and you'll have to get deliverance, by the way, as well, because it's from the pit. I know a man that was in the Masonic, and he was very high in it, and if I named him, some of you would know him. And when that man passed away, his wife rang them and said, get everything belonging to that man out of this house immediately. And she got herself a Bible and started to read it and started praying to the Lord. And that's the truth now. She's an old woman now. But you want to rid of it. And I tell you, there's lots of symbols people can have and they don't realize they're from the pit. You know, when you preach in Africa, you have to be under the inspiration of spirit, because people sometimes have weak things and they're actually cursed with witches. But the Holy Spirit brings it out, I'm telling you. God knows it. And here, this false God, you see, you cannot serve God and mammon. When Christ comes in, the false theories and the false opinions must fall. When the real gospel truth comes forward, and I tell you, I don't do it, but if you go on and listen to some of what they call as revelatory message and all this today, they're not lifting up Jesus. They're not pointing their children to the cross. They're preaching a man. And it's 1,000 miles away from what it originally was. And I'm telling you tonight, God's not in it. But God's in his word. God's in his word. The prophet of God told the priest, God's not in the church, he's in his word. That's what he said, where God is. And the thing is, when you put the word out, you're putting God out. And how many lodges tonight put the word out? Now, they might have some scriptures and things, and I'm not talking about the lodges. I mean, all denominations are lodges. Did you realize that? They're lodges. That's what they are, lodges. And the angel of the Lord said they're blasphemous names. And many of them tonight, they put the word out. You don't mention about getting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be an uproar. And you don't mention, you know, if you went against what they call the Trinity, there'll be an uproar, wouldn't it? But there's no Trinity in the Bible. There's no such word in the Bible. It formed in 325 AD. But you see, it's a false thing, but yet with all people class it as real. Three title baptism's false, but yet people class it as real. So many things that's classed as real, but they're actually false. And here I tell you, they knew. Here, when the real presence of God comes, you see, Dagon of self, he can't stand a rack shirt, can't false religion. And you see, the had to pay homage to Dagon, but when the real truth of God comes in a man or woman's heart, you'll have a look at Dagon, sure than that. You see, here's another thing as well, in verse 6 and verse 12 of Samuel 5. They were severely smitten. God smit them. Now I tell you, there's some readings in the Bible, and they're, how would you say it? They're sharp readings. I remember hearing James McConnell preaching years ago, and he said, every man that pisses against the wall, and I said he couldn't be reading that in the Bible, but he was. And here, look what the Lord says. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon them and destroyed them and smote them. And these boys had boils in their private parts. That's what the Bible says. God smit them. And he smit them in the worst part that could be smit. And they were smit. Because, you see, they thought they'd make fun of the ark of God. And there's people today who want to make fun of the presence of God. And I tell you, it's dangerous When people make fun of the presence of God, what about the man that came into one of William Branham's meetings, letting on he had cancer, but he didn't have cancer. And he discerned him. And he said, you don't have cancer, but you came here to deceive me tonight. But he says, after you leave here, you will have cancer. And that man died with cancer. But he didn't have cancer when he came. He come to mock God. And God's not mocked. Sure he's not. God's real. Amen? It's like when we pray, people say, okay, you're praying, but God doesn't hear you. But we know that the Bible, the Word of God, the ark that we have tonight says, call upon me in the time of trouble and I'll deliver you. Ask anything in my name and you can have it. Even though the world can laugh, we know it's real. We know it works. Amen. You see, the ark of his presence brings no comfort or encouragement to those who are his enemies. Nothing but the wounding and bruising of the conviction and humiliation. And you see, that's what we need today. We need meetings when we preach the unsaved. They're pricked and they're convicted. That's the type of meetings we need. That's the sort of things we need. You know, a brother sent me a recording, maybe it was last night, of Alice Cooper. Who's ever heard of Alice Cooper? He was, what do you call that, heavy metal, or whatever you call that, painted his eyes and all the rest of it. But Alice Cooper was on there saying he turned to Jesus and all the rest of it. But he says the Bible never said anything about rock and roll, so he continued on with. Now you and me know that's nonsense. The Bible says you're a new creature. Now a new creature wouldn't want to do them things. But you see, there was nowhere where that man mentioned where he repented. In Acts 2:38, it's not just about the water, it's about repenting. Repent ye therefore, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there's no real repentance, you see. John 16, verse 8 and 9 says this, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. That's what Jesus came to do. Of sin because they believe not on me. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life, who is sufficient to these things. The gospel separates. Aren't you glad that you've chosen the right way tonight? And we're serving the Lord tonight. The ark of the Lord is a dreadful thing for the unsaved, but it's a glorious thing for us that are believers tonight. Here's another thing about it. These boys, they were utterly perplexed. Utterly perplexed. 1 Samuel 6, verse 2. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners. You see, they searched for everything but the right thing. And there's people today and they're searching. And they're sincere. But they're sincerely wrong. And these boys here were perplexed. And they asked for the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to this place. And they got the diviners and all the rest of them. But Samuel was a man, could have told them. He was a prophet of God. He was a man. And I don't want to go into the next chapters to take up what we might mention later did. But you see, that they'd sent this ark from city to city. And everywhere it went, a curse came. Because you see, they weren't recognizing God, that's why. Amen. There was blessing with the ark when you believed. There was victory with the ark when you believed. When the children of Israel originally had it, they overcame all their enemies with it. They feared it. I read the other week when the ark first came in, when they sent for it at the start to come in, they were afraid to their boots, they shaked. They were afraid of the ark. But now the ark had become alive. It's not like it today. The church of God at one generation was a feared church. They were a powerful church. They were an anointed church. But people want to say today there's no power. But I want to tell you there's still power. Because there's a name we've been given afar above every name. And there's power in that name. It's the name of Jesus. Still power in it. Amen. You see, it's only the increase, the suffering, the alarm. And Solomon reminded here of how others in other years sought. You know, God could have moved on them, but they didn't do anything about it. They had the chance with the Lord, like this true ark of God. And isn't it like Pilate, almost in the exact words of the Philistine, says, What shall I do then with Jesus? That was Pilate's own words. And here these Philistines saying, what will we do with the ark? And they've sent for diviners and they've sent for priests to find out what they're going to do with. And here the Son of God stands before Pilate. And Pilate says, what will I do with Jesus? And the whole world one day will have to answer that question. What will you do with Jesus called Christ? I'm glad tonight I've accepted him. Are you glad you've accepted him? Praise God. Paul was playing the part of the troubling the enemies of God when he kicked against the goadings of the word of truth. Paul the Apostle, he held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, Acts 9, verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So you can't fight against God. It's a losing battle. And even Israel tonight, you know, they're separated that the Gentiles can be saved. But God still remembers Israel. And we're to pray for Israel. We're to pray for the peace of Israel. The Bible tells us to do that. You see, there's a tremendous important question here. You know, in this, there's this important question here that still presses us with perplexing urgency on the ungodly. You know, when they hear the gospel, when the gospel's come, there's the how are they going to respond to it? How are they going to respond to the gospel? Not only the gospel, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see, because remember, if I was to take you into the tabernacle tonight, you know that everything was placed in the one big vessel. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in Christ tonight. And how do some people respond to the gifts? They tell us they don't want them. They're not for the day. And I tell you, there's going to have to be an answer for that. But God wants our submission to his Holy Spirit, to his power, not a rejection. And here, you know what they've done? They sent it away. They sent it away. And you say, Brother Tom, that wouldn't be churches today. That's absolutely what a lot of the denominations have done. They've sent the Holy Spirit out the door. They've said with their own mouths, we don't believe it. We don't need it. We don't want it. It's passed away. It's not for us. They sent it away. But we don't want to send the Holy Spirit away. We want to welcome the Holy Spirit. We want to welcome the gifts. We want to stir up the gifts that's in us. Here in verse 7 and verse 8, look what it says. They made a new cart, put the ark in it, and with a trespass offering, they sent it away. You know, they made a new cross. Just imagine, they made a new cross and put it on them. The trespass offering sent away. And that's like the Lord that sent them away. They released Barabbas and they sent Jesus to the cross. They sent him away. And you see, these Philistines would not have this ark to rule over them. Away with it. Like Christ, the ark was delivered up at the indignation of the chief priests in chapter 2, 6, sorry, verse 2 of 1 Samuel here. They sent it away. They didn't want it. There was indignation with these priests. But the presence of the Holy Ark of God's covenant testified against them. But there's no repentance. No repentance. There's no pleading for mercy out of them. They just said, send it away out of the road. They didn't want to really do nothing about it. And I tell you, that's what it's like. You know, I remember years ago when we were in the wee schoolhouse. And this wee man was coming along to our meetings and he's enjoying the meetings. And we would preach the gospel on a Sunday evening. And he's enjoying the meetings and everything. And then one week it came around about tongues. And that was it. He never ventured back. You see, his denomination wouldn't let him have anything to do with tongues. His denomination didn't believe in tongues. So out he went. He went out. And he didn't want the tongues. But thank God for tongues. I know it's only the gift of the Spirit, but if we reject tongues, we're rejecting what the Holy Spirit's give. But we don't want to reject it. We don't want to send it away. We want to say, Lord, here am I. Amen. You see, they felt they couldn't keep it. And they must either send it away or else be reconciled to God. And they weren't willing to be reconciled to God. You know, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I'm closing in a moment. Now, they had clear evidence of its divine character. And the world today is clear evidence of Christ. It's clear evidence. But they don't want it. Sure they don't. Look what Samuel says in chapter 6 of Samuel, verse 9 to 12. Let's read it. And then we'll close in a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 9 to 12. And see if it go up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh. Then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. Now God smote them and they knew it was God. But now they're trying to let on, maybe it wasn't God. It was chance. It's not like the world. It was just one of them things that happened. There's a saying today, I don't like it, but there's a saying today, it is what it is. It's a famous saying, it's become famous on everybody you hear, it is what it is. No, but it's not is what it is, because you see, when it hadn't rained, and then Elijah wanted rain, is what it is was changed, wasn't it? He prayed, and God sent rain. I'll tell you, when you came to the Red Sea, it is what it is. But when Moses lifted up that staff and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, God done it. And circumstances can be changed. This is the truth that I'm telling you. God can change circumstances when we pray. Because we have to believe that spiritually, not a physical, but spiritually, God's ark's amongst us. His presence is amongst us. And God can do it. And we don't want to send it away somewhere else. We want it. Look what it says in verse 10. And the men did so and took two milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up the calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer where the mice of golden and the images of their emeralds. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway lone as they went. And turned not aside to the right or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them onto the border of Beth-Shemesh. Now, I can't go any further tonight because we've been to another chapter. But I'm telling you, they wanted it out from them. But it could have blessed them, but they had to repent it. They had to get rid of their ice god. And they had to get rid of all their other rituals. And that's the thing today. There's people claim they want the power of God and the move of God, but there's so many things they're hanging on to. So many things, and Christians as well, hanging on to things. And then when the power of God comes, they want to question it instead of receive it and receive the blessing of it. You see, they had another proof in the manner of the homecoming that the Lord God of Israel was with it. And I've been dealing with them through it. You see, if you could read Mark 15:39, truly this was the Son of God, this ark and the type. But they never recognized it. And you know, when the Lord did come himself, when the Lord came, and I love Jack Coe, when Jack Coe preaches about it, I'll tell you what, it's good. He said, there was far you see, and there was sad you see. He says. But I'm telling you, and William Branham said as well, they didn't recognize Jesus. The religious world never recognized him when he come. Who says, sure, we know his father. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what they said. But I'll tell you what, he walked in the water. He opened the blinded eyes. He stopped the deaf ears. He touched the coffin, and a dead boy was raised. He said to the young girl who was dead, Talitha Kumma, and she rose from the dead. He spoke to the lepers, and they were cleansed. One of them came back to thank him, and he said, the mouth shall be made whole. All the fingers and toes was missing, grew back on him. That's what that means. That's the power of the real ark of God. And we want the ark of God amongst us. And I believe there is a people on the earth today that God's presence amongst. And I believe there's a group of people today that want the power and the presence of the Lord and the gifts of God and the moving of the Spirit of God. And they don't want to follow a man, no matter how good any man's ever been, but they want to follow the one true Lord, Jesus Christ. He's the one we're following. It's him we're praying till. It's him we're uplifting. It's his name we're exalting. And when we look in this Old Testament, we're looking for him. I'm looking for him all the time in here when I'm reading these things and trying to study them. And I'm looking for the Lord. What can come out of this? I'm pointing to the Lord. Let's come and let's pray this evening and let's seek the Lord for a time tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your presence. For your presence. Lord, there's nothing like your presence. Lord, I pray that you'll visit us with your presence. Visit us individually. Visit us as a fellowship. Visit us in our homes with your presence. May we know your presence. May we know your anointing. May we know your power. That the yoke shall be broken, destroyed because of the anointing. Lord, I pray that your presence will come in our children. That can convict them of sin, of unrighteousness. Lord, that your power will come over them, that you'll move them. Lord, in Jesus' precious name I pray, convict our sons or daughters, bring them to your own self, to the place of salvation. We ask for mercy, Lord, for each one of them this evening, that you'll move on them and that you'll save them. And we claim them in faith, under the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, we claim every one of them. We pray for those sick and afflicted tonight. May they know your mighty touch. Touch them, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Have your way, Lord, upon each one of them. Lord, we acknowledge you in all our ways again tonight, knowing you promised you will direct our paths. Bless the services that lay ahead. Direct us, Lord, where we're to go, what we're to do, what we're to say. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Stir up the gifts within each one of us. Lord, you've told us to stir it up. Help us, Lord, to be the men and women of God that you want us to be. Father, we do especially pray, Lord, for those that do come under the roof that's not saved, that you'll save them and you'll deliver them. And Father, that you'll just rid us of all man's ways and ideas and help us to be led and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening.